Great.
And all this articulation of parts.
Yes.
You may want to read that.
Okay.
This is a buildings as parts of a whole. These are fellow architects at that time.
Right.
Stone, Meese, Rudolph, Breuer, Philip Johnson, Roach, Pei, Gropius, me.
Yep. You were in graduate school with Pei, is that right?
Pei. I think he was after the war.
Okay.
And I got in just before the war.
Oh, okay.
Continuous. So they're all friends of mine.
Yeah.
And you can leave through this. That's something else.
That's the Baltimore. Yes.
Now this is a disengagement of the whole program of parts.
Okay.
Program meaning functions.
Okay.
This then is described as a collection of books. Here it is.
Right.
All the books as source of
right.
the wealth of a university.
Yeah.
And all these are reading spaces.
Right.
And
right.
they're different on different levels.
Right.
And so this would be the ground floor. You go underneath it because the Mohawk Trail is here.
Oh, I never knew that.
Isn't that lovely?
Yes. Okay.
I wish they still came through there, but anyway, we
I know.
Have coffee for them. But anyway,
yes.
There's a reading room here,
yep.
open day and night, you know.
Yep, yep.
And then you go up the stairs here to this, and this is the receiving, the different
circulation
departments
yes.
and so.
Yeah.
And then you go up one more here, get your book, and you go across these bridges because these are slots that are open.
Right.
And
right.
they go straight through and allow natural light to come in
right.
for reading.
Right, right.
Shown
right.
somewhere here. There.
Yeah, here. Yes, yes, yes.
So that explains it. It's very simple, but
yeah.
Quite different.
Well, you said at the beginning a disengagement of parts. What do you mean by disengagement?
Well, to take these reading rooms,
mm-hmm.
these are study rooms, individual.
Right. I'm hoping to get one next year. I'm on the waiting list.
Oh, really? Well,
yes.
well, your name's emblazoned. This is the north side.
Mm-hmm.
That's for art, where it should have the north light.
Right. Do you know they took away the art reading room?
Oh, what did they make of it?
Into an office or into more stack space.
That's all right.
Yeah, as an art historian, I was sad. I loved that room. That was my favorite room in the library.
Now, this is the phase in which I wanted to disengage these things and move them around.
I see.
Because
okay.
we could do that during the design of this,
mm-hmm.
in which if you want to take three of these out and put something else in,
mm-hmm.
you still can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it was fixed. And later on, I did buildings which changed their. Were animated.
Yes, yes. Is that the Mumler?
Yeah, so that is the progress.
Okay.
And these were the exit stairs.
Yeah.
So a drawing of it.
Right. Can I ask you something? With this building, it is such a powerful, symbolic, I mean, just the vision of it is so intense and beautiful, I think.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, when you design it, were the aesthetics or that sort of symbolic quality, was that a part of, or was the function really driving everything and the aesthetics was the result? Do you see what I'm asking?
Well, it's as though I had these concrete support.
Mm-hmm.
And then I rigged it. I rigged the different parts on that.
Okay.
And if we had a discussion with the faculty, they want to change it. Okay, fine. Most architects would, you know,
really?
Pull their hair out.
Yeah.
So you see, I'm with change and I'm with it.
Yeah.
I want to plan for it.
Yeah.
And if they want to take this off and put something like this in, I said, go ahead on the telephone.
Wow, okay. So for you, the purpose or the function of the different parts of it was really the most important thing.
Now the shuttering means that this is east, east and south.
Mm-hmm.
Shuttering is this way.
Mm-hmm.
On the west, it's that way.
Yeah, okay.
On the south, it's this way, and there's no shuttering on the north.
On the north.
That means four elevations, mm-hmm. which are different.
Mm-hmm.
Like an organism.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
For the first time.
Yes.
That adjusts to its immediate environment.
Right.
Now that's a different kind of talk.
Yes.
Than architects used in those days.
Yeah, okay.
So that some of these people in the front part here that we refer to.
Right.
Where was I?
I think it was right before the Baltimore.
Maybe so. I'm just thinking of my, I don't know where it is.
Oh.
Anyway, some architects were still very rigid.
Yeah.
And symmetry was still alive in modern work.
Right.
And this is using the exterior wall to indicate what is inside. This is the other side of the inside.
Right. This is at the...
Yeah,
this is
and
in
this
Baltimore.
Here is the other side of the outside.
Okay.
Now this is opposite to Lincoln Center.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
PU. You know, really.
Yeah,
I was trashing it.
Really? Okay.
And so this speaks of what it is,
mm-hmm.
and what it does. This speaks of theater.
Right.
This speaks of library.
Library. Yeah. Yeah.
These are the individual.
Yes. Yeah.
You'll have one of those for sure.
Well, there are some faculty ones where you can shut the door.
Oh yes, there are.
Yes, get that. That's what I'm.
You're in the faculty, are you?
Yes. Yes.
What department?
I teach art history.
Art history.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the department is actually visual and performing arts. So there's a whole bunch of arts together, but I am in the art history. Yeah.
Well, you said they took the art section out.
They did. That was, so you had made that lovely art reading room with the north light.
Yes.
And it was good because, you know, all art books are so tall. You need different, really different bookshelves for them. And so they took that out and they put the art books basically around the perimeter of the, it's bad because now you can't ever find anything and...
I don't see.
Well,
was it outside
the
big wall?
No, still inside the book stack.
Oh, I see, but right in here.
Yes, yes.
In there, as it were.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, that, if they'd put it outside, I'd be furious.
Yeah, well, that meant, right, because these are supposed to be student study spaces and sort of workspaces.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So that's my feeling on
it.
I'm very happy. They, of course, changed this and for communications, and they have wiring going everywhere, which was unknown when this was
right. Although you talked about it, in one of the articles that you wrote about this, you described it as a building for the electronic age.
Very well, I anticipated that,
which is amazing.
So I said, put it on, and it was exposed.
What was exposed?
All the wiring.
Oh, really?
And I like that, too.
Oh, okay.
Because I have done another building in which that exhibited here.
Oh.
Telephone pole house.
Okay. I haven't seen pictures of
this. These were brought from Oregon on a flat car.
Oh, that's great.
And they're put together.
Yeah.
By two Norwegian old carpenters. Who used old tools.
Oh, gosh.
And they had to nudge this out, take this out, and take that out.
Yeah.
And they had this on a chain, and they'd swing it together, not quite Harry, put it back again and work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got it together, and then we put the bolt in.
Wow.
So all this wiring was exposed.
Mm-hmm.
You see it right here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right,
that.
Yes, okay. So now you were saying that not very many architects at the time were thinking and talking in the terms that you were. And I wonder who in the 1960s did you feel, what other architects did you feel were sympathetic to what you were doing, or did you really feel that you were alone?
Pretty much alone. I mean, I'm very good friends with Rudolph and with all of them, for that matter.
Yeah.
Some of them were moved toward Mies van der Rohe.
Yeah.
I knew him, but I had nothing to learn from him.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, once you roll out a piece of steel, you've done it, you know, and you chop it and you put it. And
yeah, yeah.
Then we have meetings at Philip Johnson's where Mies was there, and the subject of discussion is how you turn a corner properly.
Uh-huh.
I didn't appear. I just get out of there, get around there some damn way.
Yeah, okay.
And then I said to Mies, I think, I wish that your polished columns would rust. He didn't like that.
No, I'm sure he didn't.
I was thinking of his, where was it? In Europe, in Germany or so, he did a building with polished
things.
Or maybe it was the Spanish pavilion.
The Barcelona pavilion.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's not rusting as I'd hoped.
So do you like the weather, what weather does to your buildings?
Yeah. This is tarnishing.
Yeah, yeah.
You say it's a little bit rough there.
Yeah, yeah.
This means aging.
Mm-hmm.
Aging is part of life.
Yeah.
For all of us too. It's a nice reminder.
Right.
You're getting old enough to have your brickwork remade or
Yeah. Now, when you visited, so when you got the commission from Clark, did you go to campus and walk around? Because one of the things I'm wondering, the project I'm doing is, it's a project with my students next year, and I'm sending them into the archives, and we're going to write a history of the architecture of campus.
Oh.
And so what I'm trying to do this summer is some of the groundwork, and that's
now,
why.
Now, there are a number of buildings here, aren't there?
Yes,
how
yeah.
How many, three or four or five, or new?
Well, there are
housing.
Right, there's new housing, and when you were building Goddard, TAC was building the two quads.
Oh, yeah.
And then there were the older buildings. Clark Hall is, you know, 1890.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of sort of brick, collegiate, Gothic type. I mean, or a few, not
the old
a lot.
Ones, yeah.
Yes, yes.
That's comforting, too.
Yeah. I guess I wondered, did you have any desire to be talking to that, or did you really want to do your
own? Everything was brick.
Yeah.
I went to brick.
Okay, okay.
But it's made, can't see what you say, dramatic by having it rigged on concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And these are concrete, and it's a sort of new brutalism.
Yeah.
We used more concrete than we needed to. Rudolph did that.
I was a graduate student at Yale.
Were you?
And so I lived in the A&A building, and when I came to Clark for my interview and I saw this library, I thought, aha, of course. So
I don't know that what time each of those, were they the same time or
they're
different?
About the same time. I actually think Rudolph's building is a year or two after yours.
Yeah,
is that so. Okay?
He was very serious about that building.
Yeah.
He said, this is going to be my great building.
Yeah.
He was a happy man, but I mean, he's underneath it all that. There's an elevator here, which is outdoors.
Right.
This was added later.
Oh,
something was, so I put a new column up to hold it.
Oh.
It was a faculty room.
Oh,
you
okay.
You know where that is?
Yes, actually I do. That's a little meeting room. Yeah.
I don't know where. But that was part of my feeling that you had to have something in there. It's not too late. We were still under construction.
Okay.
I said, put another column in just to hold that up.
Okay.
Now, so, that's very casual, very loose.
Yeah.
And accommodating.
Right, right. What was it like? Was it difficult to design for the Clark faculty? I mean, I know us now, and we are not an easy bunch of people.
No, I don't think they... I think they had something to do with the program of it. Mm-hmm. What was down below grade is, of course, important, too.
Mm-hmm.
I gave them everything you want. This is the south side.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is shuttered that way.
Right.
Great tree here.
Yes.
That we lost because I had the dynamite to get more basement.
Wow. Okay.
Sad.
Oh, yes, yeah. Now, the location on campus?
Yeah, set.
That was set, okay. Now, was that, did you have conversations with TAC? Because they were doing, they built those two quads and they had kind of, they had identified that location, as far as I can tell, as the best place for the library. I wondered, do you recall talking
with them? I
know
that they were involved in discussion with the, with Clark about that.
You did.
I mean, as far as I was going, I was here. Okay. It's the most important building of any university.
It is.
It's a measure of its wealth.
Yes.
And
yes.
It should be central and not over here.
Right.
Maybe they agreed with that. I just accepted that as part.
Yeah.
And then putting it up in the air, meaning that circulation here across the campus is still more important than and not to go around.
Right. So encouraging people to sort of literally live with the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you see these walkways going through here.
Yeah.
And where are we again? Here again.
Right.
See this? You can come in here,
mm-hmm.
and you can go out there.
Yeah.
And you can go out this way.
Right.
And you can go out this way.
Right.
All four. This is the major one.
Now, when I came to campus in 2004, and then the renovation and the changes were made to the building in 2009. And so I lived with it like that for several years. And I wonder, did you, at the time, it was always really cold in the winter. Did you have any thought about sort of, I don't know, the environmental...
control?
Yeah, well, or just that the experience of that space in Worcester in the
winter. Walking underneath this,
and
then upstairs to get to the entrance is not the easiest way to get into a library.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I said that cannot be changed. They wanted to glass this in, and glass that, and this, and this.
Right.
And destroy the fluidity of that.
Yeah.
I just said that Indians don't go through glass.
Right.
Take it away.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
I had no idea that that was the Mohawk Trail. That is fascinating. How did you know that, or did you?
I brought up in Stockbridge, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And near Pittsfield and all.
Okay.
And
yep.
It went near there, just near north of Stockbridge.
Yeah.
And we had Indians all over the place in Stockbridge. They were attendants to the early churches there. And that's about it.
Yeah.
So that was, I was close to that and had respect for them too.
Okay. Now, you've done several designs for college campus, I mean, libraries and other theaters.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, what are your thoughts about designing for the college environment? Do you...
See, by Connor. This is college.
Yes, yeah, right.
In Old Westbury, Long Island.
Right.
It's a hilltop.
Which is incredible.
Beautiful. Have you been there?
No, I haven't, but I was reading about it on your website.
It's a hill town.
Yes, yeah.
From Italy or somewhere, and I love that.
Yeah.
And you always go up to it.
Right.
No automobiles past this point.
It's incredible.
All pedestrian.
Right.
And bridges across here.
Yeah.
There are emergency trucks that can come through here in case of fire.
Right.
And, see if I have any more of that.
Yeah.
That's it again.
Yeah.
This is
it. Yeah.
interesting thing about this is the educators who took over at that time were rather experimental.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, where are the departments of study? He said, I don't believe in departments of study.
Wow.
After a silence, I said, well, how do you deal with this? And he said, well, study groups are put together by groups of students who are serious about it,
mm-hmm.
and want to almost design their courses.
Mm-hmm.
And then they select faculty members to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up on the roof, each a separate place.
Mm-hmm.
And these are places to study.
Right.
And then they're reassigned for something else. This is the roof of all this.
Yeah.
And the library is below. There is a library.
Right, okay. Okay.
And it's around, I think, this thing here. Does that answer your question in all a different way?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like you're talking about almost self-directed, and self-creating.
Yeah.
And so, and certainly the library at Clark does that. Because it lets this, and you're talking about it being driven by the different uses. So.
Curriculum.
Yeah, yeah.
Write your own curriculum.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it was taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
I think some girl, when asked what her major would be, candle dipping, and she would give one to her mother, and one to the president, and one to the department or something.
Okay.
We've gone too far.
Yes. That is very funny. Yes.
So there's an awful lot of humor involved in all these things.
Yeah,
and I'm glad that you can take this on your machine.
Yes, yes.
The laughter will be convincing.
Yes, yes.
So that's there.
Yeah, yeah.
That hasn't changed any.
Now,
you see this?
Yeah, yeah. That's
and these
gorgeous.
Are skylights
okay.
of things below.
Right, right, right.
And it's fun to go up here. It's like a hill town.
Right. Now, would you have described this as brutalism as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From what? The concrete.
Yeah.
And the roughness of it.
Right.
The first of those.
Is the Baltimore.
Was Baltimore.
Yeah. What do you think of that term, brutalism?
It's a shocking thing to say, put out by an English architect, I guess, Peter Smithson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very good friends of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was after the war, and no one had any money to spend.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had to make a direct expression.
Okay.
They had no choice. So they glorified it.
We'll
make something of this. Sure.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I find I have a hard time explaining to students how architecture goes from Mies and, to this expressiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So did you really felt that you were reacting against that international style?
Well, it's a very natural thing.
Yeah.
In view of the immediately after the war, the loss of building funds.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was used against me, and this was almost torn down.
I was reading about that, right.
And they saved every bit of this.
Oh, great. Oh, good.
I mean, I fought them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they took this tower down here. Okay. So they put a hotel on this.
Ugh.
I said, okay, do that. They took that.
Yeah.
So there's nothing here, but there's all this left for restaurants and small stage positions for personalities, like Las Vegas.
Okay, okay.
I don't know what they...
Right.
They started tearing this down.
They must...
Stop it.
Yeah, and that must be a great space inside.
You see, it was for sale.
Mm-hmm.
The chap who bought it was the manager of the underground garage, and he wanted to make a big hotel here and make some money.
Oh, okay.
So we had a hard time.
Right.
We tried to make it a, what was it, a landmark.
Right, right.
Couldn't do that.
Why not? Was it too new, or?
I don't know, the city didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least that's lovely, and it faces on a park.
Right,
which
right.
Which is somewhere here. Lost it, but. And that's all there.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous space.
And this is the underside of the outside of the
right, okay.
The seating.
Right, right, right. Yeah, one of the things that I love about Goddard Library is all of the different ways you can look when you're walking through it. You know, you have all of these different visual experiences.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost seems like the building kind of moves and it grows as you walk through it. I mean, is that something that you...
That's a wonderfully accurate thing to say.
Yeah, yeah.
It grew.
Yeah.
By itself. I used to use the term, I didn't design it, I presided while things took their natural place.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can remember that, that's...
Yeah, okay.
And then, of course, other troubles. This was never built, but this, you see, I developed to a place where this small thing here
mm-hmm.
hooked on to a structural member here.
Okay.
I could take three of these here,
mm-hmm.
or two,
mm-hmm.
or one.
Okay.
And they
okay.
all hooked into the heating, electric, and telephone.
Okay, okay.
Which comes along here.
So those are basically different options in the design.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So this was changed.
Okay.
There's an elevation of that.
Uh-huh.
And here they are. These were fixed, stair.
Okay.
You could take this out altogether if you wanted to. These were separate elements.
Mm-hmm.
It had its heating, plumbing, and electric central at the top,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and came down this way.
Mm-hmm.
You could put other supports and add more things.
Okay, and this is
permutation.
Okay,
that is exactly what happens.
Okay,
the sequence here is do that.
Yep.
Over here, something's gone.
Yep.
Boom, something's added.
Okay,
and this doesn't look like the first one.
Right. You know what it reminds me of a little bit is when I was in graduate school, I did a project on 18th century architecture. And you used to see sometimes architects would draw these renderings of a room, you know, folded out flat, and then they would tape in, you could literally flip up and sort of see a different design. So, I mean, these are, you know, old, very old drawings.
17th century?
18th century. 18th. Yeah, yeah. So you could flip it up. And I guess maybe these were more for interior schematics, but you could literally flip it up and see something different, put it back down, you know, decide which one. I mean, I assume it was for the client.
This was that cardboard applied. They weren't finished heavily.
No.
Permanent.
No. But this just sort of, this process reminds me of that.
It's in the mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you come to this, a house on railroad tracks.
Oh my goodness, that's great.
And these go back here.
Uh-huh.
And this is a workstation here.
Okay.
You want to get away from the hubbub of a family life.
Uh-huh.
You put yourself on this thing and there's a little, what do we call it, motor.
Right.
Donkey engine, they're called.
Okay.
This one goes down to the pool.
Okay.
And this was for guests.
Okay.
If you don't like them, you push a button and they go on.
that's literally moving architecture.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is great.
So that was it. Then you see that goes to Mummer's Theater. This is a house later.
Yeah.
So it's on the way to...
That's Roosevelt Island.
Yeah, that's pretty conventional. Anybody could have done that.
Yeah. You seem like you have a lot of fun with your designs.
Oh, I do. This is Leapfrog City.
Mm-hmm.
This then is replacing old buildings with new.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a sequence. And don't know where that is quite. That's a different thing. Mm-hmm. You put up towers in the backyards.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not disturbing anybody's except laundry.
Okay.
Drying.
Uh-huh.
And then you bridge across here.
Uh-huh.
From one to the other. There's the framework.
Uh-huh.
And the scaffolding going out. And it's there.
Yeah.
And then at the end you can tear down the old.
Wow.
And
wow.
Move people upstairs.
Okay.
Now that's very humanistic.
Right. Yeah.
Then that was the ultimate. This was to be built in Florida.
I haven't seen pictures of this. No. Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, I was reading on your website the Richard Rogers and the Pompidou Center. He was saying how much your thinking had influenced what they did with the Pompidou Center. Ah, okay.
There he is.
Okay.
Right. Your friend.
No, it's great. We were in Paris last summer, and my daughter, she's 5 now, but she was 4. You know, we had a lot of fun in that building, and saying to her, "So this is an inside-out building." She said, "Yes." Yeah. Why is this outside, mommy?
Are we inside now?
Right. Exactly.
Buildings representing electronic. Okay, then this is the ultimate.
Yeah. Okay.
Now the sad thing is they have floods in. Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They're all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's destroyed this, everything below it. It's all water,
really?
The whole thing is water.
Oh.
Now, I'm waiting to see what they do.
Wow.
Some people want to destroy it, take it out of there, and have a conventional theater. The story of this is the sad situation.
Mm-hmm.
Disdain for established, modern, even new or and so electronic.
Yep. Okay. Yes.
And this casting.
Okay. Yes, because you talked about the Goddard Library as being like the inside of a copier
machine.
Right. Yes. So it was that reference. At the time, a photocopying machine was very cutting-edge technology. Is that...
Well, it looks more like this casting, which you're putting liquids through to a certain large thing like a theater.
Yeah.
This is the actual illustration of three elements. One is the chassis.
Okay. The
what
body.
The thing is... everything is attached to.
Yep.
Then there are the components. Then there are subcomponents attached to the components.
Mm-hmm.
And they define more exactly the operations of that assemblage.
Okay.
So that's not just to be copied. That
right.
is
right.
So here you have, these are the components, three theaters, children's theater, experimental, and and then these are the subcomponents, toilets and offices.
Right.
And then the circulation are here.
Yeah.
And they're color-coded
because
this is open to the public. They can go through here and out to the gardens.
Right.
This one takes theater goers to these.
Right,
and the top
right.
one in black.
Okay.
Is circulation of the air conditioning.
Okay. That's great.
And these could come and go. Mm-hmm. There is no stage. They build a stage for each production.
Oh, wow. That's the ultimate.
That's the ultimate.
Yeah, thing. Okay. That's incredible.
Somewhat of a derivative stage here, but it's not really. And then you can enter this thing by coming down or coming from underneath and exiting.
Okay.
And these, of course, break up the boredom of theaters.
Right, the proscenium stage.
And then, you know, the jazz is right there.
Oh, that's great.
So I don't know what they're going to do with it.
Yeah.
Someone quoted costs of remodeling and putting back.
Yeah.
$30 million.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
You don't blanch at that.
Well, I mean, personally, yeah. But I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, that's the cost of buildings. It's amazing how the order of magnitude has changed hugely.
Well, this, I say, if you can't get a box office, you know, to support this thing, then you make it a entertainment center where you can have some personality here come and go. Or it can be, what else? Yes, then you could remodel this into seating as well as tables.
Right.
And come down here with food.
Right.
And why not?
Yeah.
So I rush out there with these alternate possibilities.
Yeah. Now, that idea of the chassis and the parts and the subparts, was that... And were you thinking of that when you designed Goddard as well? I mean, is that a sort of an approach to design that you were thinking about then? Or is that...
the parts?
Yeah.
Certainly here.
Mm-hmm.
So much so, this is a tri-centrist composition.
Right.
When you go through there, you have to hold on to something because it's chaotic. Because you go through this here, and you look at this and that, and there's no relationship. Yeah. I want that.
You like that?
I like that.
Yeah, okay.
Now, actually, this relates not to that, but to itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that to itself, and that to itself.
So, three very different parts.
And then you have the fun of finding your way through.
Yeah.
And getting there is half the fun.
Right.
So this, that's 1966.
Okay.
It's a long time ago.
Well, but that's right when you were also working on Goddard, because Goddard started being built in 66.
That was in progress.
Yeah. So I just was wondering if that idea of the chassis and the parts is something that you were using when you were designing Goddard. Yeah.
Well, I anticipate what I'm going to do.
Right.
That's natural.
Yeah.
This, for instance.
Yeah.
You see that coming.
Right.
I boast about things that I have not built. they're still in my mind.
Yeah.
They say, where is it?
Yeah.
Still up there.
Well, I've seen the nano architecture, some of your...
So that's over here.
Yeah, okay.
And you know this book, I guess.
Well, I've read a bit about it, and
well,
seen some of your models.
Well, this is experimental.
Yeah.
Most of this can be built.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, this is a very nice review of that.
Okay.
And by the... And these can be built now.
Okay, that's cool.
Electromagnetics?
Yeah.
But this cannot.
Okay.
And if we get over to, these all can be built at the present time.
Mm-hmm.
To keep this from collapsing, there are pumps going all the time and sensors saying the pressure is failing in this, it's going to collapse. And it turns on a pump.
Okay.
So these old things,
like
the related function of our body function.
Right.
Specialized but interrelated.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get over here to the end of this. These are all possible. Then we come,
that's great.
A thing that collapses and with a hand.
Okay.
With a hand.
Oh, wow.
This is electromagnetic. If you change from positive to negative,
mm-hmm.
here, this hole is positive and negative. They're pulling on each other.
Okay.
If you change them to negative and negative, indents it, and it changes this.
Okay, that's neat. That's really cool.
So we don't know what it's going to be. Look at that.
Right.
Oh, that's something else.
That is incredible.
Cloud. Just put helium in there and you got
right.
a cloud.
Wow.
The air quilt.
Okay. Oh,
this
God,
all
that's
changes
amazing. Wow.
With pumps
yeah.
changing the inner group of chambers
mm-hmm.
to the outer changers, you can make it convex or concave.
Okay.
So I'm fine to find. Now, the floating, that's more that can be built.
Yeah.
These are water bottles you get at the out of the market.
Yeah.
You know, the ingenuity of...
That's great.
And they're strong.
Oh, yes, right, okay, yeah.
If they were made in this scale...
Yeah.
This is a handle.
Right, I can see that. That's great.
Now then we get to, you know, that floating house that can be
mm-hmm.
done.
Mm-hmm.
It's like yeah. a boat builder.
Right.
I talked to a boat builder.
Right.
Inside, something different. Now we're...
Louis Kahn built a boat, do you know this design? I learned about it from the movie My Architect, but there's that, you know, he designed a boat. It was basically, and it's like a concert hall on the boat, and there's an orchestra that lives on the boat full time. They travel around, and
I'm glad to know that.
Yeah.
I knew him well.
Yeah.
This is a house that grows.
Oh, that's great.
And here we are.
Oh my gosh.
Start with a chamber here.
Mm-hmm.
And you put in chemicals, and you put in a seed, they call that,
mm-hmm.
the red.
Mm-hmm.
And that is analogous to DNA in nature. Analogous,
okay.
Not the same.
Yeah,
this
right.
This is mechanical, that is
yeah.
cellular
okay.
repetition.
Okay.
And so it puts down roots,
uh-huh.
and it takes the nourishment from there, goes up this
That's
way.
That's incredible.
And so,
wow.
this then is animated.
Uh-huh. Right. I think I've seen that on your website.
Funny.
Yeah.
And now, apartment building. See, the structure
uh-huh.
grows first, and then
it
fleshes out, as
That's
they say.
Great.
And as the occupant.
Mm-hmm.
And the final one with people in an
That's
elevator.
Great.
And so then this is, of course, the nuance, the discourse.
Mm-hmm.
That
okay.
is all the technical
okay.
aspects that
okay.
I'm trying to...
Okay. Well, this...
Okay, then I... All right.
Well, one question is, that makes me wonder, is there any contemporary or recently built building that you like? I mean, you know, any of the recent...
Oh, yes. I have great admiration for Richard Rogers.
Okay, yes.
And he's building a tall building in lower New York, you know.
Oh, yeah, I think.
And the other architect in England.
Norman Foster?
Yeah, Norman Foster.
Okay. What do you think about Gehry?
He's not doing architecture.
That's sculpture?
Sculpture.
Yeah, okay.
I know him.
Yeah.
We're friends.
Yeah.
I had this is a wonderful story for each of these. We're both members of the American Academy of Arts and Letters in New
mm-hmm.
York.
Mm-hmm.
And he is too busy to come often, but he was there. We were going toward the bar, and I said, Frank, you're on to something. Leaving it hanging there. Am I making fun of him or making some exaggeration? And he put his arm around me and he said, you know, I've never been able to find the freedom in myself to express myself as I'm doing now if I hadn't seen Oklahoma Theater 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Now that's very infrequent. I mean, he said that.
Yeah.
And also Rogers about Pompidou Center said they couldn't have done that without Oklahoma Theater.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I understand what you're saying about Gary doing more sculpture, but one of the things I love about Goddard is that it has this physical presence. I mean, it works so well as a building, but it has its sculpture too. I mean, it lives and moves. And
it relates.
Yeah.
My forms relate to functions that are going on.
Yeah.
His have no relation.
Yes.
That's why it's not architecture.
Right, okay.
He can be called on that by many.
Yeah. But your architecture has such an expressive quality to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can see why that would have inspired him years ago. Yeah. I mean, it really
good. You bring him up.
Yeah.
We respect each other.
Yeah.
I think he's wonderful what he's doing, but it's not architecture.
Right.
If you want to revive the popularity of a city as he does in Spain or whatever, you call for that. Some of them are dangerous. The snow has been almost killed people.
Oh, wow.
And
that happens on the building I work in, actually. It was an old schoolhouse that Clark redesigned, and we blew out the attic, and it wasn't re-insulated properly.
Oh.
So now the snow melts and falls off the building.
Oh.
And
come on.
That's a mess.
Yeah. Well, that's being an architect.
You
can be sued.
Yes. Well,
I think MIT is suing Gary now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
For the dorm?
Yeah, the dorm. Yeah.
Huh, okay.
Well, it leaks like a sewer.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Well,
that used to happen to Frank Lloyd Wright, too, right?
And myself.
Yeah.
I used to know and talk to Frank Lloyd Wright often.
Really?
I'm so glad to be my age that I could remember all those people.
Right.
And, one is, of course, he's on the phone with a client who's just moved into the house that Frank Lloyd Wright designed.
Okay.
And the client says, I'm sitting here with a very valuable book here, and there's water coming down here. And he said, what am I do? And Frank says, move your chair. He's funny.
Yeah.
And he gets away with it.
Right.
And a better story you must have told as well. He was testifying in court in behalf of a friend of his.
Uh-huh.
And you know the order of procedure is that each of the lawyers on both sides go to the one testifying and saying, your name is this is true. So that he went to Frank Lloyd Wright, and the lawyer said, how do you stand among the great architects? Said, I'm the greatest. Greatest living and greatest ever. And then it was all over. But then someone of the press in the corridors afterward asked him, did you really say that you are the greatest architect ever known? And he said, I had no choice. I was under oath. Now, isn't that...
That is ego.
Amazing. I've got you. Glad you have that recorded.
Yes. That's great.
Oh my.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'll just show you this quickly.
I'm out of architecture now. I'm not doing any more architecture.
Okay.
It's the end.
Yeah. Well, but you're doing the nano, or I mean, those are exploratory ideas, or?
These are, this is the name of it, here it is. Being of the Cosmos, Insights of Great Minds.
Okay.
I've done a lot of reading.
Okay.
It's not all shown here, but about 30 or 40 books.
Yeah.
And search for the ultimate truth. This is what is the creation about. Who are we?
Mm-hmm.
And all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all Congress. We're all, my daughter is putting this in order.
Okay. Okay.
You know what a book needs.
Yes.
Accomplishments.
Yeah. Right, right.
This nebula here.
Yeah.
I get the copyrights to use that.
That's
beautiful.
That's gorgeous, yeah.
So then, wonderful forward here by Graham Underwood, and introduction and so on.
Okay.
This then deals with, I think there's a contents here.
Yeah, okay.
origin of the universe,
mm-hmm.
theories,
mm-hmm.
The cosmic mind,
mm-hmm.
human and cosmic minds, which work together,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it is said,
mm-hmm.
human and cosmic souls, it's mm-hmm. part of the mind.
Right, right.
And then the human consciousness, metaphor and symbol,
mm-hmm.
what we make of things that are not so,
mm-hmm.
the poetics.
Mm-hmm.
And then faith and reason,
mm-hmm.
two mentalities which are fighting all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Liberation from existing religious traditions,
mm-hmm.
new frontiers,
mm-hmm.
and that is technology. And then rededication to what? The great energies and intelligence.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Well, nothing more.
That's
no,
the entirety
no big
of the
matter
world.
With a beard.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Are you? Is this going to get published?
Yeah, on the web.
Oh, great.
If Amazon would do it.
Right. Right.
They do everything, and they'll
right.
sell these on consignment.
Yeah. Yeah.
For very little for me.
Right. Right.
So it'll be available.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well,
that's
about boom. Anything more?
Yeah. Well, I guess this is part of my art history brain
yeah.
here, but early on, so you trained with Gropius at Harvard.
Yeah.
And so did you think of yourself as a modernist at the beginning and then decide that that wasn't the path for you? Or did you really feel from the beginning that it was that you wanted to be doing something different?
Both my parents were portrait painters.
Mm-hmm.
They were world class.
Yeah, yeah.
And brought up with that, I would be a painter. What
yeah.
more could I do?
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to show you this. I have it somewhere. I thought it was in this book. Yeah. Another book. Well. I had their paintings
yeah, yeah.
here, that you saw.
I think I've seen something on the web. Yeah.
Yeah, my father at age of 40 years old went to paint the signing of the Versailles Treaty.
Oh, that's so neat. Wow.
He's the only one
okay.
who could do it.
Right, right, right.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, yeah.
And my mother, who was equally talented, was commissioned by the State Department to paint the portrait of Queen Elizabeth of the Belgians.
Okay.
Wow. Most regal, beautiful thing.
Wow, wow.
So my first statement is, how could I fail? I had to do that.
Yeah.
So then I painted, and I thought I'd be a painter, and then I went to Harvard, and then the architectural school was the first to undergo a revolution,
mm-hmm.
as you know, and mm-hmm. Gropius was there,
right,
and
right.
it all changed. Why should I go anywhere else?
Right.
Yale was a École des Beaux-Arts.
Right.
And Princeton still is.
Yes. Yeah.
So I built a boat 18 feet long when I was about 14 years old. Sailed it.
Oh my goodness.
And I had to, it's good with my hands, and I had to do something that was not illusionary like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A painting.
Right,
something
right.
that works and I can
yeah.
get into.
Yeah.
And then the enclosure, the excitement of creating something you get into.
Yeah.
And that moment when you, it's, it was far enough along when you can move into those.
Yeah, yeah.
Faces. And learn. Yeah. And move on.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I stayed there. Learned a great deal from that school.
Right, right.
I didn't stay the extra year to study with Gropius. That's what you got if it's one
okay.
more year.
Okay, okay.
I studied with Royer.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And I was close to him all the time.
Yeah.
He was Hungarian. He was a drinker. We had learned more from him at drinking parties than we did at the building.
Huh, that, I didn't know that about Breuer. That's interesting.
So that when I introduce these somewhere in my writings, I say that Gropius was the Apollonian figure.
Okay, okay.
And Breuer was the Bacchanalian.
Dionysian, yes, yeah. Okay, that is fascinating. Well, that might explain why they,
yeah.
their collaborations
yeah,
were
yeah.
so, yeah.
But as soon as the war was over and I went and started my own practice,
yeah.
I put away all German
okay.
art.
Okay, okay.
Not Breuer, but.
Right, but the Germanic.
And I went two, three ways. Higher technology, like sprayed concrete,
yeah,
40 feet, 2 inches thick.
Yeah, wow, okay.
And symbolism,
yep.
and analogy, which was a no-no.
Right, 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 right.
And historicism, going back and done
yeah.
things that were Neo-Palladian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All of those modernists always said they were getting
yeah,
rid of history,
yeah,
but history is
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get rid of it.
Well, I think I've had hard times getting started. I could.
Yeah.
I did houses until I was 40 years old.
Right, right. I love some of the designs of yeah, those houses when you came in.
In tears, you know. But
you wanted to be doing bigger.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And what else can I say? Well, 27 houses are designed.
Yeah.
10 have been torn down.
Okay. Okay.
Mostly in New Canaan.
Yeah.
And other states there.
Yeah.
And I've asked how I feel about that. I say, well, for a man who can't produce children, the equivalent is something that you somehow, you create.
Mm-hmm.
You better work on that. Huh. Well, you can see.
You yeah, yeah.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Both
yeah.
cases.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then other buildings have been threatened.
Right, right.
This was ready to be torn down twice.
Right, right.
So I say to myself and ask the satisfaction or the is in the doing.
Mm-hmm.
The whatever satisfaction. Mm-hmm. The reward is in the doing. Some
okay.
wise men said that.
Yeah.
If that doesn't go, I say, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you make funny things about things that hurt.
Yeah. Well, you have to, well, yeah. And that's one of those cases where you think history, if people understood
mm-hmm.
their history, these decisions yeah. would not get made.
Yeah.
I mean,
so we each of us have our wonderful opportunity.
Yeah.
I think it's a great profession. Some make a great deal of money doing in that.
Yeah.
I never got big money to do anything.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
was built for $3.5 million.
Wow.
To repair this after the flood. $30 million.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to tear it down. I hope not.
I
everything
yeah.
you see here would be kept.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that. Yeah. I. It will survive.
Hmm.
I mean, there will be.
You'll pray for me.
Yes. Well, and write letters if need be.
Your brother what?
I said, and write letters
oh,
if
yeah,
need
yeah.
be. I mean, that's...
Well, I did that first time
yeah.
we had, when it was going to close.
Yeah.
I got every dean of every important architectural school.
Yeah.
Critics, institutions, wrote letters. And I heard about this thing. A friend... A student of mine was coming through there to see it and told me when they got to New York that they're changing it all. And I said, is this a renovation or is it a remodeling?
Mm-hmm.
It was a remodeling. And I got all these letters together and I got
yeah,
hold
yeah.
of Mr. Talbert, who eventually bought the whole thing with his own money.
Wow.
And wow. now, of course, he doesn't know where to go, but that was that. Wow. So I've been hurt, and I've been ignored by postmodern that had a short life.
Right, and short memory.
And short.
Postmodernism is very, well, it was a very self-congratulatory
oh, yeah.
moment.
As its applications to architecture, of course, it was a farce.
Yeah.
But it's now the up-to-date philosophical forefront.
Yeah.
They say.
Right.
And there are three reasons why. Interpretation, I can't remember, so.
Yeah.
Depth of feeling and thought, philosophical. That is a great contribution.
Yes.
But I say quite separate from the architectural.
Right. How do you feel about the changes to the Goddard Library? To the, I mean, in closing, ultimately, the
walkthrough
yeah.
below?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I would have had to fight that. I don't think it was taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It was a proposal. Someone said, gee, it's awful cold in there. Why don't you close it in? Oh, very simple to do. We don't need the architect. We'll just make some drawings and have it done.
Yeah. No, but it was done. I mean, they
I didn't know.
Yeah, they enclosed it 2 years ago. That's the renovation.
Is it still now?
Yes, yeah.
Still
yeah.
glassed in?
Yes. And actually, one of the pictures on your website shows the built, the... I'm not sure which side of the building it is, the east or the west. But it shows that facade with it glassed in now. Is it one of the pictures on the...
Jesus, Brian. Well, it's not too destructive. I'm going to let the Indians know right away and they'll be
yeah.
in trouble.
Yeah. Well, it's... I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It destroyed, to my mind, it destroyed something that was very vital to the spirit of the building. However, there is so much of the building that still remains.
Oh, yes.
That has, I mean, there's so much of the spirit of the building that is still there. And it does now, I mean, that is now, you know, the meeting space that students are in literally 24 hours a day.
I think it's all right.
Yeah.
I might have done it myself if they were felt very strongly.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah.
I was there. I go with my daughter who lives in Holden.
Oh, okay.
You know,
oh, wow. Yes, I live just 2 miles from Holden.
Really?
I mean, I live in yeah. Worcester, but right near the Holden line. Yeah.
So I go and spend a week with her.
Okay.
And I say, let's drove over and see it. It's still, you know, has impact.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I'm very pleased. But I had no glass at that time. 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So it was put in 2 years since then.
Yeah, 2010 is when, I'm trying to think. It opened to the students in January of 2010. So in the fall of 2009, the summer and the fall is when they were redoing.
Well, it's all glass, is it?
Yeah. I mean,
ceiling to floor.
Yes. Yeah.
They have to scribe to get around odd places. You know
yes.
what I mean.
Yes, yeah.
Well, scribing is a wonderful use of glass.
Mm-hmm.
And Stirling of England,
mm-hmm.
Jim Stirling.
Okay, I don't know that.
I was impressed by his building,
okay.
Academic building, okay. in which he had crazy things like this going on, and scrap. Then it was closed in from the rain.
Okay.
By scribing around this way.
I see.
And that.
Okay.
So that was a wonderful solution.
Right.
And you don't really see it.
Right.
And this, where is that? The house. Don't seem to know. Well.
You're looking for the...
Yeah, it was the this one here.
Oh.
See, this is all closed in with glass.
Yeah, okay.
And they had to scribe around these things.
That's crazy. Yeah, okay.
And they had to take a saw and go around there and put the glass in.
Right.
And so...
Okay. Well, they must have done something... in similar in places at Goddard.
Yeah.
It works well enough.
Yeah.
And the important thing is that the overall character of the building and the way the building worked in terms of how you wanted it to work, it still does.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's important.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to take any more of your time. I appreciate this so much. Thank you.
Well, I'm very pleased. Well, it's a pleasure to me to remember even the comical things and the frightening things as well.
Yeah.
So it's very dramatic for architects who try to get things done and fail and succeed.
Right. It's exciting for me too to be doing this research on these buildings that I walk around and you know work in every day. And next spring, when the project is finished, I will send you a copy of what we create.
Very nice. Yeah. This was designed by me when I was 3.5 years old. I used to build blocks.
Oh.
And I built this before going to bed one time. And mother and dad, and she writes about this, my mother, and didn't want to destroy it when they came home.
Oh, that's
so
great.
She made that drawing of it.
Oh.
And this is a courtyard. And this is places for cats. And this is a place for dogs.
That's
and then
great.
These, it's a little... steps for children to play on.
Okay. My daughter would like this.
you have it, I guess.
Yeah, that's great.
There it is.
Oh, okay. Oh, those are beautiful. Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that regal?
Yes. That is...
They got to know each other.
That's
she incredible. And my mother very well.
That is really...
beautiful.
Yeah, really gorgeous.
And this is... These are all identifiable.
Right. My goodness.
Egg. Orlando.
Wow.
Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the beautiful.
Yeah.
Reflection.
Yeah. That's a great painting to also think about putting it in the context of some of those.
This is in Washington, both of them.
Okay.
So what could I do?
Yeah. Well, these are...
Yeah.
Well, thank you. These, yeah, your buildings are wonderful. Give me inspiration all the time.
Great fun.
And I have really enjoyed talking with you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you got it all down there?
I think so, yeah.
What a machine.